I think I'm well enough distance here from you guys. We'll try to at least keep that in mind. Jan and I have been traveling to Florida every year as long as we've been married, and that's been 43 years. Sometimes we've gone to Florida a couple times a year. But I'm going to go back to a story, one of our trips, that's probably been 35 or more years ago, and we were headed to Orlando. Now, back in our early, younger days, certainly can't do it now, but our younger days, we could leave Kennard early in the morning and be in Orlando later that evening and have very few stops. We could just make it all in one day. Now it takes us 2 days just to get to Newcastle. It's just one of those things that as you get older, things change. But we had intentions of going to Orlando, and so we got on Interstate 75 way up north here and started heading south. And you stay on I-75 mile after mile, hundreds of miles on I-75. Well, obviously, it had gotten late. It was dark. We had talked ourselves out, probably, and maybe we're just spacing the driving. It's kind of boring and mundane. All of a sudden, we look up, and we see Tampa so many miles. Somehow or other, we had missed an exit at Wildwood, Florida, where you take the Florida Turnpike to go to Orlando. And instead of going to Orlando, we were now headed to Tampa, Florida, way on the West Coast. And so we were lost. We had taken the wrong road. And of course, back in 35 years ago, you couldn't bring up your phone and just say, get me to Orlando. We were getting out Rand McNally and such like that and trying to figure out how to get back to Orlando from where we were. So that's a major time when we were on the wrong road and we were lost. But I can tell you that even just recently, I've been on the wrong road and lost a number of times with all the detours that they have set up. Everywhere you go, it seems like there's a detour. And instead of, I'm not the one to follow the sign that says, take this and go 18 miles out of your way. I'm going to see if I can't just go over one county road and go up and come back over. Okay, a lot of heads are shaking. Well, what I have found is a few times that wasn't the right way to do it. And now I am lost. Fortunately, I did have a phone where I could bring up and say, get me to Newcastle. And I could find my way. Oh, well, the thing I wanted to say is, I have been on the wrong road many times. I've been going in the wrong direction many times, but not only while driving a car. I've been on the wrong road going the wrong direction in life too. I've been on the broken road, but praise God, the broken road eventually led me to God. Amen. You know, part of our, God is part of our journey, even when we veer off the path, even when the road gets bumpy and hard, God is still with us. Well, there's a popular country song that I'm going to feature today. You know what we're doing? We're taking each week in this God and Country series, we're taking a country song's lyrics and bringing out a gospel message. And today, the song, the popular country song is called Bless the Broken Road. Just with knowing the title, have many of you heard this song? There's a few of you have. Well, I don't know if you know this, but it was actually recorded by several artists over the years. The very first one that put it on an album was the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band, believe it or not. And then some other folks did as well. But it was in 2004 when that trio country group Rascal Flatts, now I bet I would see some hands. You know who Rascal Flatts is. They're the ones that recorded it, and it became a number one hit. Now, basically, the song could be a love story. I went through this broken road experience, and it finally led me straight to you, Jan, 43 years ago. I thought I'd hear some ahs and oohs. And there you go. I tell you what. Oh, yes. But it could be a love song that says, you know, I dated this person, I was married to that person, I got divorced, I did this, but through all the ups and downs, I'm with you now, and I thank God for the broken road that led me to you. But obviously today what I'm going to do is I'm going to take that love story, and it's going to be a love story between us and God. And that sometimes we do go on a broken road of, I accepted you when I was in vacation Bible school, but I left you in high school. I recommitted my life when I was a young parent, but then I faded away and things happened. But hopefully I've gotten back to you. Here's the lyrics to the song, and then we'll get into the message after that. I set out on a narrow way many years ago, hoping I would find true love along the broken road. I got lost a time or two, wiped my brow, and kept pushing through. I could see how every sign pointed straight to you, that every long-lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they were like northern stars, pointing me on my way to your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. I think about the years I spent just passing through. I'd like to have the time I lost and give it back to you. But you just smile and take my hand. You've been there, you understand. It's all part of a grander plan that is coming true. Every long-lost dream led me to where you are. Others who broke my heart, they are like the northern stars, pointing me on my way into your loving arms. This much I know is true, that God blessed the broken road that led me straight to you. Life's roads, life's paths. We're going to start with a couple proverbs, the first one being chapter 21, verse 8. And it's going to talk about this first path. The guilty walk a crooked path, and the innocent travel a straight road. The guilty walk a crooked path, and the innocent travel a straight road. This is a very simple, short verse, but I believe it tells us two important things. The first thing is that there's two types of people, and that there's two types of roads. Two types of people, the guilty and the innocent. The two types of roads, crooked and straight. Now there's another proverb, 22:5, it's going to go even further about the guilty, or about the crooked road the guilty take. It refers to corrupt people and the road being thorny and treacherous. Not my kind of road. Proverbs 22:5. Corrupt people walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life avoids it. Boy, if it were just that simple. I think we all value life. I think the people who don't go to church value life. I think the people who've not read the Bible value life. I believe the people who don't even know who God is, they value life. But if only they could realize that there is a life beyond this life. And there's a road that leads to that life that's beyond this life. And that's what we want to help people see that. So corrupt people walk a thorny, treacherous road. Whoever values life will avoid it. Well, with those two proverbs, one of the thoughts that I have is this. It seems like we have a choice. We have a choice of which road to take, the crooked road or the straight road. Here's the problem. When we get to the entrance of those two roads, they both might look the same. There's a nice sign that says, go this way. And there's another nice sign that says, go this way. And there's trees, and there's flowers, and it looks like everything's paved. The lines are painted really nicely. Seems like a no-brainer. Either road will work. But what we don't see, what we can't see sometimes, is what's beyond our view. You remember the old television show as a game show many, many years ago, decades ago. I think it was called, where you had three curtains.
Let's make a deal.
Let's make a deal. Curtain number one, what's behind it? Curtain number two, curtain number three. And then the contestant picked from the audience got to choose one of those, and maybe they had to give something, or you can trade what's behind this door, a curtain behind what's this curtain. Again, all curtains look the same. So it was really a tough decision to make. Sometimes as we're looking at the roads to take, they all look the same in the beginning. So we have a choice. How do we choose? That's the question. How do we choose? How can we know which path is the best one to take? I don't know about you, but I could use some wisdom about now, could you not? Well, we have Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2. And here's what it says. A wise person chooses the right path, and a fool takes the wrong one. A wise person chooses the right path. There you go. That's the simple answer. How do we know which path to choose? Just be wise. It's as simple as that, is it not? Now we can just close in prayer and be done. Wrong. Because how do I get wisdom to make the wise choice? The song lyric, one of the lyrics said this, I couldn't see how every sign pointed straight to you. I couldn't see how every sign I passed pointed straight to you. When Jan and I were on that trip to Florida, there was probably plenty of signs that said, Florida Turnpike, so many miles ahead. Florida Turnpike, a few less miles ahead. Florida Turnpike, next exit. And somehow we missed those signs. But I readily admit this, that in life, I've also missed the signs that pointed straight to God. Have you? King Solomon, he's the one that wrote that verse from Ecclesiastes. He said, wise people choose the right road. Okay, great, but how do I become wise? How do I get this kind of wisdom? Well, fortunately, just like every situation in life, when we have a question, the Bible can answer that question. And if we go to James chapter 1, verse 5, here's what it says when we're trying to figure out how do we make the wise choice. James says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you, and he won't rebuke you for asking. So if we need wisdom, just ask. I'm wondering how many of us have actually asked God for wisdom. Sometimes what we ask him for is the sign, or we ask him to help us with this or that. Sometimes we actually have already gotten on the wrong road, and we ask him to bless us on the broken road, on the wrong road. And he's not going to keep us on that wrong road. He will help get us off of it and back onto the right road. But if we need wisdom, just ask our generous God. And the thing that's implied there is he's not a selfish God with wisdom. He doesn't say, when we ask for wisdom, okay, here's a thimbleful. That ought to hold you. He'll give us more than we can handle. But we just need to ask to start with. Well, there's more scripture I want to share about getting on the right road. And the first one's from Matthew. And it's actually Matthew chapter 7, verse 14. It says, but the gateway to life is very narrow, and the road is difficult, and only a few find it. That sounds kind of negative, does it not? I would hope that the gateway to life would be wide, and the road would be easy, and everybody finds it. That would be how I would hope it would be. And that's not how it is. See, God sees the big picture of all of life from the beginning of when he created our world, our universe, people. and he sees all the way to the very end. And he can already tell, he's got the statistics, you might say, and he sees that just a few people make it. But it's available to 100%. That's the thing. He's opened the exit for everybody, but just a few people choose to take it. Well, what I read was chapter 7, verse 14, but let me just back up and just tell you, remind you what verse 13 says. It says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for the many who choose that way. There's two roads. There's two choices. The right road, though, leads to life. Here's what we know from Scripture so far. And the right road is narrow. The right road is difficult. And with the right road, only a few find it. Here's my question for us today, and really for everyone. What happens if I'm on the right? What happens if I'm on the wrong road? What happens if I've taken the wrong road? Can I ever get on the right road? That road that is straight and narrow and leads to life. And I've got good news. While some of this seemed like negative news, the positive news is this. The answer is yes. And it doesn't matter what wrong road you've been on. It doesn't matter how long you've been on the wrong road. Or if you've ever been on the right road and then got on the wrong road, and that's where you find yourself. Can I get on the right road? Can I get on the path that leads to life? And the answer is 100% yes. In the Psalms, it says this in chapter 25, verse 4. And again, all these verses that I'm sharing today are very short verses. They seem to be very... Sometimes verses, you can read them and you think, now what does that mean? Not so much with the ones I'm sharing today. It says, here's what the psalmist says, show me the right path, O Lord. Point out the road for me to follow. Here's the two choices. Here's curtain number one, curtain number two. Here's two exit signs. They both seem to look the same at the beginning, the entrance to the roads. And we don't know which one to take. The Bible says to ask God to show me the right path. Say that simple prayer when you're facing two directions and ask Him for help. Because don't we all ultimately want God's direction for our lives? We know down deep that He has a better perspective than we do. He knows the path that's ahead, and He knows the best path for us to take to get where we need to be. And the fact is, He can see everything at once. Here's the example, and I know I've shared this. I think every year I use it as some illustration, this little creature God created to make some point. And I'm talking about the woolly worm. We're coming up on that time of the year where we will start seeing the woolly worm crossing the roads. And they might cross state highways, but for the most part, or interstates, most part I see them crossing the county roads. I don't know if they're rural, if they just only live in rural areas, and they're not city worms. I'm not sure what the deal is. But I'll be driving down a county road, and all of a sudden I'll see a cornfield and a ditch on the one side of the road. And on the other side of the road, I'll see a cornfield and a ditch. But what I think is so hilarious is a woolly worm will be crossing the county road at 0 miles an hour. He's going from the cornfield and the ditch, and he doesn't see it because he's so small, and that road, what seems like nothing to us, is so wide for him, but he cannot see that on the other side is a cornfield and a ditch. Same thing he left. And I'm thinking, how stupid are the woolly worms? Until I realize how stupid I've been in life sometimes, where I've been in the cornfield and ditch side, and I think, oh, if I'll just go this direction, crossing a dangerous path, risking my life, I'll end up with cornfield and ditch. And I think I'm not the only one who's done that. I bet others have done it too. Here's another example that we can identify with, because again, I'm trying to give us the idea of how does God see our life? Well, he can see it just like we see the illustration I just gave with the worm. Here's another one. Since the time we were children, we've played these games where they're called, it's a puzzle and it's called a maze. And it's got the lines, little lines all over the page. And you start, you start down here, and you have to figure your way with the pencil all the way through the maze, seeing where there's roadblocks. You have to go back and come another way and see what goes through, because you ultimately want to get over here to the end where you can get out of the maze. Well, we can look at that piece of paper and we can see where the beginning and the end is. And as we're going through it, we can kind of see where, oh, wait, that's going to be, that doesn't go all the way through, so I'll need to come down here and there. Again, that's how God sees things. But if we're in the maze, if we're that little pencil tip, well, they can't really see where to go. They just, all they can see is what's within their vision straight ahead. Just a little funny story about that is, and Jan's rolling her head, because I guess I've told this too many times too, probably. Decades ago, Jan and I were in Pigeon Forge. And this was long before you ever heard of anything called a corn maze, which they're all over the place now. There was a place where you could pay money to go through a human maze. And you would pay $5 or whatever it was. See, whatever it was back then, it was a lot of money for for us. But we thought it'd be a fun way to spend an hour or so. And so we paid the money and started walking into this maze that was all lined up with shrubbery type thing, but way over your head, so you couldn't see where you're going. You had to figure out, and you would hit roadblocks and dead ends and such like that. Well, I don't know what I had for lunch that day. Yeah, but once we entered the corn, or once we entered this human maze, okay, it took you a while, but now you're there. As soon as we paid our $5 and entered the maze, and we're to the point where we were lost, and we didn't know which was the entrance, where the end was, I needed to go to the bathroom like yesterday. And so what was going to be a fun hour of just finding our way to the end was desperate. And there were little platforms every so often where you could go on a platform and you could look over and kind of see above the maze, see where to go. And so Jan and I would rush to those platforms wherever we could to try to get us out of the maze as quick as possible.
I thought you were going to say you're going through the bushes.
Well, I never thought about that. But ultimately, everything worked out okay. I guess I'll leave it at that. But the thing of it was, if I could have stood on the platform, if one of us could have stood on the platform and directed us, had a better perspective, we could see how to get through that. What I hope you catch today is that God has this perspective. And while it looks like for us, boy, we're just going down this path and I don't know, now it looks like it's a dead end. And if we have to retrace our steps a little bit, it's okay. God's directing us to where we need to go, because he knows ultimately where he wants us to end up. And again, life is all about us having the freedom of choice. We could stay in the maze the rest of our life if we wanted to, but he would try and point us in the right direction. Sometimes the path to God is difficult, and sometimes the road to God is a broken road, but God has the best perspective to guide us through, to get us back on the right road, or get us on the right road to start with. I'm going to have one last psalm to refer to in chapter 77. 77:19 says, "Your road led through the sea, your pathway through the mighty waters, a pathway no one knew was there." What in the world does that mean? I think David was referring back to the time of a story of the Israelites that we all know. And that's the story of when the Israelites were freed from the slavery in Egypt, and they were headed to the promised land. But what was in their way? If you watch the Ten Commandments, you remember that Charlton Heston led every one of those. They say there were millions of people. And all of a sudden, they come to a point on their path to the promised land, and there's a big sea. It's the Red Sea. How do you cross that? We must be at a dead end. We must be going in the wrong direction. I thought God was taking us this way to freedom. Now, to make matters worse, it wasn't just that the Red Sea was in front of them, but now they realize the Egyptian army is behind them. And they're racing as fast as the horses will take them, and they've got weapons, and they don't like us now. They either want to kill us or bring us back to slavery. How do you like that? And yet the psalm says, your road led through the sea, catch that, your pathway through the mighty waters, and then catch that last part of that verse, a pathway no one knew was there. There was no sign that said, stand here at the Red Sea and press this button and the waters will open up and there'll be a way to get across. They did not know that. See, we all know it. We've heard the story so many times that we just gloss over it. But what we don't realize, what we can't realize, is they didn't know that. They thought that they were stuck on what they thought was the right road. But this right road, this broken road even, was actually a way to their freedom ultimately. You see, we know the story that God separated the waters of the Red Sea. And not only did he separate the waters, but he dried out the bottom of the sea that had been underwater for how long? And as they walked across with their animals, with their carts, with their sandals, there was no mud. It was completely dry. And they were able to escape on the other side. And then we know what happened afterwards. Is once they were safely across, the Egyptian army comes in, boom, the waters come back over. God takes care of the problem that was chasing them. My point is, and I believe the point in the Bible would be, that there are paths that God has for us that no one can see. And yet at the right time, in the right way, he'll open up what seems like an unbelievable entrance and take us through an unbelievable road or path to get to where he wants us to be. Don't ever forget that. If we could have some music, go ahead and start to play softly. I'll wrap this up here in just a couple minutes. Here's how I want to end this today, with this question. So what has got you between a rock and a hard spot in life? What has got you between the Red Sea and the Egyptian army? And in your situation, in your life, you're seeing the Red Sea and there's no way to cross that. And you look behind and you see an enemy that's chasing you down, that there's no hope of you getting out of this situation. Just a couple examples. Is the place that you're in between a rock and a hard spot financial? In other words, there's a sea of debt in front of you, and there's bill collectors chasing after you. Maybe it's not you. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's a friend. Or maybe it's this. It's physical. You're facing a sea of pain in front of you, and helplessness is chasing you down. Doesn't seem like there's any medicine. There's no surgery. There's no treatment to help take away the pain. Or are you facing the mighty waters, so to speak, of relationship problems, of addictions, guilt, lust, lying, envy, worry, depression, etc., etc.? You know what your situation is. So what's the answer? Cry out to God for help. Just like Moses did, he just let God tell him what to do next. Because Moses didn't know the sea was going to be a problem. Moses didn't know the Egyptian army was going to be a problem. And yet he cried out to God for help. And then what God did was he opened up a pathway that no one saw was even there. What I want to do today to end is just have a minute of silence with the piano and organ, or just the organ, whatever, playing softly. We're not even going to sing a, normally we'd sing a closing song, but today I just want to end with the music playing. And I want to let the Holy Spirit speak to you directly. And here's the two things you can be thinking about in this moment of silence. If you're on the right road, or maybe in the past you were on the wrong road and now you're on the right road, would you take this moment just to thank God for where you are? And then for anyone else, if you're not on the right road, would you take this opportunity, this moment of silence, to call out, to cry out to God and ask Him to get you on the right road? Let's go ahead and take that moment of silence and just begin to reflect and pray yourselves. It's interesting. I didn't know what song that they were going to play. They didn't know what message I was going to share. But while I'm talking about a road that leads to life, the song itself says there's a river, there's a fountain. And the song just invites us to come. That's what this message has all been about. Let me close in prayer. Father, may you bless our broken road and bring us straight to you today. And I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now go and be blessed and be a blessing.